I started off with Shorthorn cattle, and then Hereford, and Shorthorn, Hereford Cross, and they were...
Now, this is your family we're talking?
Yeah, in my time.
Yeah.
And they were my father mainly had Hereford cattle. He switched off the Shorthorns on to Hereford. They're both good breeds of cattle, but they were really tic-tacs to make the best of them, yeah. So, in the late 60s, they started off breeding Brahmins, and that more or less done away with the tick problem. Still Brahmins here today, but they're a bit wilder, but only because they don't get near as enough work as the old ball is, because you had to go on every month, you're out chasing ticks.
And they were a gentler sort of breed too, though, weren't they?
Yeah. But I feel that if these Brahmins had the same amount of work, they'd probably be just as quiet. In those days, everybody was riding around on horses, and cattle took no notice of horse. Now, if they see a bloke on a horse, they know there's only one thing on, they're going to get around and fetch him in, whereas if the other ones would have run away every time they seen the bloke on a horse, they'd have starved to death.
They'd have been running for life.
They just got used to people on horses, but as the cars come in, horses went out and they didn't see us. They don't see as much of horses. Like some of my old cows only see me 2 and 3 times a year. Well, they're going to be a little bit wild.
Of course they are, yes. Yeah. But it must cut down on the expenses by not having to dip that much.
It does.
Yeah.
That was a big saviour, so we all thought. But then along come lantana, and you spend more money trying to kill lantana than what you did ticks.
Yeah.
Because it's just an ongoing job, and it's taken all the enjoyment out of being a bloody cow cocky, because the time is spent, every spare moment you got, you're either trying to spray a bit of lantana or looking to where you should be spraying. It's just taken over the whole country. It's dull. It's just a hassle every time you go up to them. It's a hassle because of the lantana, that sort of thing.
And in the olden days, did you feel more isolated than you do now?
Oh, yeah.
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 Because the track from Yungala was quite a bit different, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Can you describe that for us?
Yeah, well, it used to take the old people a day to go to town, and now somebody's got a sniffly nose, they're under town an hour and a half.
Yeah.
35 or 30 minutes into the pub.
Were you social outing?
One of the biggest changes that we've had in my time is the building of the dam. You know, most people think the dam's a great idea. I think it's a shit of a thing. Because everybody likes a dam or a rubbish dump as long as they're not in their backyard.
Yeah.
Well, the dam happened to be right in my backyard. And it wouldn't have been too bad. It was just the place they built it was the hassle, because they took up the best bit of country we had and it pushed us back into the hills, and took up the homestead and all the little Holden paddocks, the cattle yards, the horse yards, everything had to be shifted. Whereas if it was up the creek a bit or down the creek further, it wouldn't have done as much harm to us, you know.
That's true to us.
But
there would have been suitable sites further upstream or downstream, wouldn't there?
Oh, not with the amount of flat country, unless they went down to Yarana. Okay. Once you go below here, you've got to go to Yarana.
Oh, really?
And once you get up the creek, well, I don't know that I'd like to live below it anyway.
Oh, really? Yeah, true.
Well, that was the biggest, not so much the dam was, it took up a lot of good grazing country, but it took up all the handy grazing country around the homestead, as it is, we've still got stacks of hills and mountains and Massey Creek, but today's job to get to them, whereas the cattle around where the dam is, you could go out and be home for lunch, you know. It's just the hassle that they've just pushed you back into the hills. And it's nowhere near as enjoyable up here as what it was down on the on the riverbank.
Right on the creek, yeah.
Well, up here most nights, and you blow the hair off a hippie, eh? You know, blows a gale, and you try and put stockyards or that, or drive on the side of a hill. You're forever chasing the hill, you know. The wet season's coming, there's great where the cattle have been walking or the horses have been walking, everything sort of just gets washed away.
Yeah.
Where down on the flat it was just nothing got washed away, but up on the hill you always trying to keep your hill there.
Yeah, you never think of that, do you?
We just shifted it.
Yeah.
And when the dam runs away, you're chasing your water all the time. You're chasing your water all
the time. Need a longer pipe sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's where you get all your water from, is from the dam.
Yeah.
Do you catch rainwater?
Yeah, a little rainwater tank.
Just a little one?
Yeah.
So you use that for drinking and the dam water for everything else? Or do you drink the dam water?
I drink the dam water.
Do you?
I drink the dam.
Nothing wrong with it? Oh, that's good. What about when the algae was in it?
I drank it then too.
Yeah. I don't know what they were on about with the algae myself, but I don't know what the damage, you know, the danger was or anything. I don't understand it. Did you?
No. See, the house is built now where Mike lives. That's where the original house was built, but it was blown down in the 1918 cyclone. Oh. So when they rebuilt it, they built it down on the creek because it was easy to get water, I presume.
Yeah, I remember visiting that house down on the creek. Yeah. And the other half is now in at the top.
Positives to come out of the dam was we got a good road.
Mm-hmm.
We've got power, and we've got a good telephone service. Mm. Because I can remember when I was a kid, my old man used to love his racehorse, and he'd get on the phone of a Friday night to your father, because he had the paper and the fields, and they'd talk for hours trying to pick winners. And if the phone wasn't working on a Friday evening or a Saturday morning when he went to put his bets on, he'd be called out of daylight and sent on your pony over the hill to fix the telephone. It had to be fixed by Saturday, you know, since he could ring up his bookie mate in town to get his bets on.
But can you describe the telephone line too? It was quite intricate, wasn't it?
It was just went from tree to tree. And only took one bit of a branch to fall on it, and it earthed out, or a bit of bark off those big old flooded gum trees.
Yeah.
They'd hang on it and touch the ground, and it wouldn't work.
Mm.
So you're on the pony and over the hill.
Yeah.
Had to carry a little portable one with you, says that. If you found it where it was, something was stopping it, you could ring him to find out that it was right. You didn't have to go right over to Bell's. All the big flooded gum trees were down up the head of Andrews Creek, and that's usually where you had to go to. I remember that as clear as a bell. Mm. Phone had to be working Friday. Mm.
Those races were a curse on my life. I don't know about you.
They were the big benefits of it, was the decent road.
Yeah, but isn't it a shame they didn't bitumen it when it was all built up nicely?
Well, it was ready to build up. It was ready to put the tar on. The engineers that were here said it only needs tar on it.
Mm. Because the track prior to that was just two wheel ruts, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It through the bush, yeah.
All the old fellas, I'll show you some photos with pack horses. But the power was good.
What about school days? Did you go away to school, or did
I spent the entire school days at boarding school. Yeah, when I was five, I went to the convent at Walkeston. I was there for 5 years, and then I had 2 years at St. Brendan's. That was in 1956 and 57, I think. And then when Michael started school, Mum bought a house in town, and I spent the last 3 years at St. Brothers in Mackay.
Oh, okay.
And I just went from there home here, So I've been here ever since.
Mm, fairly well entrenched then.
Yeah, I'm the third generation here.
Mm-hmm.
Troy's fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Locke and Tim are fifth.
That's great.
The old Timmy McAvoy's recycled.
Yeah, you reckon he's like him?
I hope not. I don't think old Tim would have been like young Timmy.
Don't you?
No. Cattle trucks and everything, you know, the old timers had to drive their cattle everywhere when they sold the bullock.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. In the olden days, how did you get your cows to market?
The olden day, well, we won't call them the olden days because I can remember them, so they're not that old.
Well, yeah.
Dad used to only breed his cattle here,
and
he used to send them to Italabar, and he'd fatten the bullocks over there. He'd spay his cows and fatten them here, then he used to send them down to the butchers down the valley.
Send them how?
Walk them.
Walk them down to
Finchatton. Yeah, George Bozell used to take most of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Old George Bozell, and he'd walk them to Hannon and G used to be at Morani. And Glenn Cameron was at Hatton, and Billy Davis was at Hatton, and there was a Peterson brothers down at Serena.
Mm-hmm.
He used to often send them down to there too. They used to walk them down to Hobart and down to there.
Gee. So with Talibar, did your father have another block of ground over there?
No. He used to adjust it off a bloke called Sid Quinn.
Okay.
And they used to send them over there to fatten, and when they were bullocks, it was fattening country. It was good country with Talibar.
Mm-hmm.
It was only 3 days' walk away. We used to go to Blenheim the first day, Exmoor the second day, and then to Italabar.
Mm.
And when they were fat, they used to send them walk them into Collinsville, put them on the train. They used to kill them at Morinda. Yeah.
Oh, and when you were walking these cattle, you know, if you stayed overnight, did you all sleep with the cattle, or did you?
No. We used to always use the yard at Blenheim and Exmoor.
Mm. Yeah, put them in the yard. Mm.
And when they used to go to Mount Christian, there was yards all the way.
So it was sort of set up for cattle walking. Mm.
Stock route. Well,
then
the big change. And the best change ever to come to the place was in 1958 when they started pulling the scrubs around the place, the turkey run. They started in 1959, I think, and then over the next 3 years, well, Youngler went from a breeding place to a fattening place, and it's still fattening.
Mm.
Yeah, it's still as good as the day it was pulled.
Now you load them on a truck right at the yards here.
Since they've done Lizzie Creek up, we load them on down to the yard down the scrub, straight to the abattoirs in Mackay.
Mm.
You know. The abattoirs in Mackay has been a blessing, eh?
Mm.
That the cattle don't have to go to Rocky or Bowen where they used to go before that.
Yeah. Mm.
But that's been the biggest improvement. And the downers, the banning of the tree clearing. Like the carrying capacity with tree clearing was doubled on Youngler Holding, eh? With the bans on tree clearing, well, the place will never be any better than what it is now, you know?
Probably get worse, because won't they come up again? They'll sucker, won't they?
They'll chop them off if they do. You've got to keep eye on them.
Mm.
Like that, and the lantana. That is the biggest problem.
Mm.
And then the other big kick in the guts was taking to the State Forest Country Office. That takes away the third of your income, more or less. Well, you still got to have the same amount of machinery, the same amount of men, and the outlay is the same, but you lose a third of your income, sort of. And that third was your profit margin, because there's just costs you can't cut back on, eh? You know, the truck regos, everything. You've got to have your trucks, you've got to have Toyotas.
Yeah.
Like, it costs as much to run 2,000 as a cattle as what it does to run 3, sort of, you know, because you've got to have so much gear to start with. And with kicking us off the State Forest, well, that has just taken
the cream off the top.
It's taken the cream, yeah. Expenses when you do it, you come to a certain amount and then your profit's gone. So. But we did expand, oh, it's 17 years ago now. We bought a little place at Claremont when they first start talking about it. But we thought it would never happen, you know. It's just a fattening door.
Yeah, so you take cattle from here over to there? By truck.
Yes, by truck. But yep. talking about driving these cattle, they used to walk them, a lot of them used to walk them down the range, eh? Well, there was a story, it's a true story too, about Mick O'Loughlin sold some cattle to Charlie Froggatt, used to be the butcher at Hatton then, and he used to pick up his cattle at Y Yard and drive them. Well, they start off, they take them down the range. But they, early in the piece.
Where's Y Yard first? Where?
Down Hazelwood.
Oh, yeah.
Down the Cockies Creek Road.
Yeah.
Well, they started off, they used to walk them from X-Vale over to here and then go over the range and then take them down to where, well, take them down to the bottom to the butcher shops at Hatton. Well, when they opened up the range around, the roads around Crediton that there, from the Broken River into there, Froggatt wasn't going to come over these hills anymore. He was going to walk them that way. Take them to Wyard, it's a lot shorter. No, Mick didn't agree with it, but he gave in to Froggatt. Anyway, they had a forestry camp just near the Sky Window there.
I remember that.
You remember that? Well, there was a camp there, and Froggatt's driving these X-Vale cattle along the road there and come to this camp, and they were just all stopped. Anyway, it was an old fella Burgess, I can't think what one it was, but he had an old rowdy truck, and he started up the old truck, and all the cattle jumped into the scrub, and I think it was old Norm Foster went in to hunt them out, and they went straight over the edge. I think it was killed 17, only one survived. Yeah.
Gee, so who paid for that loss?
Well, I don't know.
You don't remember?
I think Froggatt might have, I think.
Yeah.
I think Froggatt had to pay for it. Oh, Mickey, my dad's going to doubt it.
No. And who was Froggatt?
He had the butcher shop at Hatton.
Oh, he was the
Charlie
butcher at Hatton.
Froggatt. Oh, Charlie Froggatt was his name.
Oh, I hadn't heard
of him. Him and Mick were pretty good mates. Yeah. He was Mick's best man when he got married.
Yeah, there you go.
I think before Billy Davis and Glenn Cameron.
I only knew of those two. I hadn't heard the Froggatt name.
It was before that.
Yeah, so they went straight over the hill. That was...
Yeah,
it is close to the edge there, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, when the truck started up, it was a big old truck, and vroom, vroom, and they all just jumped into the scrub, and I think it was old Norm Foster went in to hunt him out, and they just took fright of the man on foot, just popped over the side.
And at school, you know, you were away for the full term, eh? You only just came home for holidays.
Yeah, three times a year. Yeah. Christmas time, May holidays and August holidays.
I would hate to have my kids doing that.
But you had no choice.
No.
Dill one done that correspondence.
Yeah, she's probably easier to handle.
Probably. It wasn't until she started going to, was it before she went to high school, anyway, when she got up in the grades a bit at the... And Michael was ready to start school, that they went to town. Bought a house in Pinder Street in town.
And that's what we didn't get on to, was the races. You thought they only had two or three meetings.
Two or three meetings, yeah.
That's all there was. Fancy building all that racetrack for two or three meetings. And why did they stop, Darryl, do you remember?
Come in with corn-fed horses, and horses had to be registered. You just couldn't turn up with a stock horse and sort of went professional, sort of. And the jockeys had to be registered and all this sort of thing.
And that cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
I guess insurance would have had a bit to do with it.
Well, the professionals took over. Well, then just wiped all the amateurs out. Well, they weren't going to do all the work.
And I was thinking that it stopped about 57, because I'm pretty sure that the first ball we didn't go to, we came up in 56 in June. But I'm sure the next year we went to one, but that was the last one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was 56, 57. When they built this other one, they built the quarters out of it.
Oh, okay.
They made a pretty flash-looking bunk. Well, it was a good bunkhouse.
Mm.
And then when the dam was built, they auctioned it, and Ed Casey bought it and sold it to a cabinet maker in town.
Mm.
The Red Cedar. It was old Red Cedar.
Mm. So it wasn't yours. It wasn't yours to auction. The dam had reimbursed you for it, so they sold it.
Yeah.
One other thing I was going to touch on... when you were kids, what did you do for entertainment? You know, like kids today, they got these games inside of the computers and everything. There was none of that then. No TV.
Used to break your neck to get on the pony and go mustering.
That was it, yeah. That's it. All, yeah. Because you never went to town much. No, I know we never did.
No. Oh, there was a gully. It was only a few hundred metres from the house. You'd have big roads all around the side of it. We used to play with trucks.
Yeah. We had, my brothers and I had ditches all under the house for the trucks, roads going everywhere.
Well,
this was
a gully with a bank on. We used to put roads in there. Most of the time we're breaking our neck to get on the ponies and go mustering.
Go to work, It's a different lifestyle now, isn't it, altogether?
Mm. That's what we
And what about
doing.
Delwyn? Did she go mustering?
Never went mustering? She never went mustering. She had a nice pony.
Mm.
Dad bought it at the Brisbane exhibition for her.
She just didn't like the horses? Or?
No. There's a collection of photos of her here. One riding a pig, one riding a bull, and one riding a pony.
She'd have had a fairly lonely life with all your boys off playing on the horses. Yeah. She'd be home here playing with the dolls,
I suppose.
That's
playing with the dolls.
Yeah.
Mm. You've come out a few times.
Yeah. The dogs haven't played any different roles way back then to now, hey? They still used the same.
We still use the dogs, Never go out without me dogs.
No. And you've never tried helicopter mustering here?
No. I don't know that it's too rough, but where the helicopter would be good, I don't have any trouble getting them in on a horse.
Mm, it's a lot cheaper anyway.
Oh, the helicopters are good. I would never knock a helicopter because there's some people with thousands of head of cattle. The helicopter can put them all together in a couple of days for them. And they only need a team of men for a few weeks of the year, whereas
you've got
men all year round. They're only your own men now. There's a lot of people with lots of cattle. They don't have men anymore.
Mm.
If they want one, they've got to go to the mines and get him anyway.
That wouldn't be much good. Quite often, though. They're just weekend jockeys, more or less, aren't they? Yeah.
You crack a whip at Moranbah and everyone's gone now. They don't have nothing more to do with cattle.